If you're just joining us, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And a note here about our coverage plans. The public hearings of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump continue this morning. You can hear live coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're carrying it on our NPR News and Classical Music Network starting at 8 o'clock. The U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, is one of several witnesses set to testify. So that's live coverage of the hearings beginning in about 25 minutes from now on the NPR News and Classical Music Network and online at WPR.org. But right now we're talking with stand-up comedian and filmmaker Hari Kondabolu, who says just because something is funny doesn't make it right. He's making audiences laugh in Wisconsin on a tour, starting tonight with stops in Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee. He grew up in Queens, New York, son of Indian immigrants. He takes on thorny issues in a stand-up, race, immigration, war, some examples there. So have you seen Hari Kondabolu performing? What did you think of this show? What questions do you have about the work of a stand-up comic? We're at 800-642-1234. Hari Kondabolu is a stand-up comedian and writer based in Brooklyn, and he joins us from our studios in Eau Claire. Hari, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate.
So you've been visiting our state to perform stand-up for a number of years now, going on a decade. What have you learned about our state from your visits here?
Well, I knew when I've come in the past that Scott Walker was a divisive issue, but that might be different now, obviously. Obviously, the cheese stuff, but I didn't really need to come to the state for that. I mean, selfishly, I will say that I've had amazing audiences. I feel like there's a certain open-mindedness and thoughtfulness in audiences, the willingness to hear someone, you know, present an argument and attempt to, like, make them laugh. And so that kind of generosity is something that keeps bringing me back.
Oh, they'll hear you out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about performing, especially in comedy clubs, is that, like, the audience, there's an expectation sometimes of joke. And that's not the kind of comedian I am. Like, I kind of tell stories. I'm a little longer form. It's not that I don't have jokes, but it's just kind of like a different tradition of stand-up. You know, my influences are, you know, maybe more of the storytellers. And so...
Yeah, you take on the cool professor type.
I think, yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah, I feel like, I think that's about right. I'm hoping that it doesn't feel like a lecture. I mean, that's the goal because it's supposed to be a comedy show. And if I fail to make people laugh, then, you know, I'm not doing my job. But yeah, I definitely find it like, I don't let it restrict me if someone, you know, the idea is like, the audience will be able to relate to the material. And I feel like human beings are able to relate to each other even if they don't have the exact same personal experiences. And that's what makes it interesting. So if you have an audience that's willing to pay attention even if they don't immediately connect with the material, that's great because that means they're going to figure it out and I will explain it and set it up. And that expectation of, like, it has to be funny just for me right now, I feel that a little less when I'm here, and I really appreciate it.
A couple years ago, one of your fans encouraged you to visit Milwaukee by tweeting this: "People might think you work at a gas station, but we have bars everywhere and great food." Were they right about people treating you like a stereotype?
No, not at all. I'm surprised to hear that. But I'll keep in mind, I was only, you know, the times I'm in Milwaukee, it's really like a number of hours, and I'm sleeping for a good chunk of those. So, and you know, my interactions are mainly like, you know, coffee shop. Maybe I'll stop at a bookstore, like the caricature of a public radio listener, and then I'll do the show. I haven't really dealt with much of that. I know Milwaukee has lots of problems, and this, you know, obviously the segregation within the city is a big issue, as is everywhere police brutality, but. You know, I haven't dealt with anything that, you know, in terms of both my audience or in terms of people, you know, graduate. But I mean, at the same time, like, I wouldn't expect it. You know, I don't think that cities are caricatures of what people say they are. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you know, maybe if I'd been there longer and I'd grown up there, my experience would have been different. But it wasn't like this immediate, like, Indian guy's here, go get him. Like, it wasn't anything like that.
Well, let's dive deeper a bit then on race and stereotypes, because you did perform here after the 2012 mass shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, the suburb of Milwaukee. And this tragedy stirred a lot of conversations about race. Have you noticed any changes over time in how people react to your performances and in your material on stage?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of strange, particularly since the Trump election. It feels a little different. I feel, in addition to like time passing and there being more mass media with diverse voices, I feel like people are more willing to listen to me now than ever before. You know, they have an open mind when they come to watch me perform. Also, I think some of the things that seemed super progressive that I was saying are, you know, 15 years ago now are more in the conversation when we talk about whether it's gay rights or the rights of transgendered people. Like, these are all things that all of a sudden require less explanation or in the public narrative. And so that's extremely, you know, exciting as a performer, because that means I can just get to the jokes, you know. In terms of like negative stuff, you know, one thing that has been interesting is since the Trump election, the people that don't like the stuff, like sometimes they just yell out the word Trump. Like, I was in Ann Arbor, which is supposed to be this incredibly liberal place, and the shows were fantastic. But in the middle of one of my shows, a guy stood up and he yelled, "Hail Trump."
What did you do?
Well, I'm a comic, so I destroyed him. I verbally said lots of things. I think there's a clip of it online somewhere, but I basically tore him apart. And, you know, I had the numbers, too, since it is Ann Arbor, so that always makes the things a little easier. But, yeah, I mean, that happens. But I think it is weird that the people that don't like things can just yell out the name of the president, and it's loaded. It's a loaded thing to say. But other than that, you know, strangely enough, I feel like this presidency has activated a lot of people and has forced a lot of people to think about things they were uncomfortable about. And before, maybe when you discussed racism, people were like, I don't want to hear it. We talk about it all the time. But when the president says something, you almost have to address it. When the president tweets something racist or sexist or homophobic or whatever it is, or says something ignorant, it brings this discourse into the public view that maybe in the past people would not be willing to discuss. But you kind of have to, because he said it, so someone has to address it.
We're talking with Hari Kondabolu. He's a stand-up comedian, writer based in Brooklyn. He has 7 shows in Wisconsin today through Sunday, with stops in Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee. You can join in. What questions do you have about the work of a stand-up comic? Who are some of your favorite stand-up comedians? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Michael now in Appleton. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My question, I guess, and I thought of 2 other small ones on the wait for the call. But my primary question is, you know, Hari, I like to think I'm a funny person, and I think my friends agree, or if they're really good at lying, if they don't. But I've thought about the possibility of doing, like, getting started in stand-up for a number of years, but being in Appleton, I think there's one comedy club that's a dedicated comedy club, and then any other performers kind of go to the PAC to perform. I've seen Louis Black there a number of times. So I was just kind of wondering if you would have any kind of recommendations for, excuse me, someone who wanted to sort of try it out on a smaller scale or in a smaller environment like that.
Yeah, breaking in. Yeah. Michael, thanks.
Yeah, again, I love the fact that public radio listeners have sub-questions. It's always the best. first of all, small correction, it's Hari, not Harry. Always try to do that. But I would say, first of all, Appleton, I've heard, I haven't performed there yet, but has a wonderful comedy club. And they have open mics at all comedy clubs. And I think you just have to go up there. You know, I know that sounds really basic, but like, I think people are afraid of taking that first step. And once you go up there, and you'll know if it feels good and if you want to do it again. You know, I would come prepared. I would do some writing. The time goes quicker than you think when you're up there. So, you know, I just think you need to develop a thicker skin when you're a stand-up comic. Like, failure is a good part of what you do. Like, when you're working out jokes, you know, like, I've done shows with, you know, famous comics and people who've just started. And when they're working on a new joke, everyone's the same for that moment, because a new joke is terrifying. So, you know, take some solace in that. Like, at some point, we're all open miking and we're all afraid and we don't know where something is going, and we hope we can talk our way out of it and end on a punchline. So,
and you weren't on a path to stand up comedian. You have a graduate degree in human rights from the London School of Economics, but these doors just kept opening for you, and you just kept going to auditions, as I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was also good. I mean, to be perfectly fair, I mean, it wasn't just things just opened up. Like, I was working for it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess there was a secondary path to stand-up while I was an immigrant rights organizer, and then I got my master's in human rights from London School of Economics, but... You know, I believe that if you love art, why does it matter what else you do? You know, the great thing about performing in a scene in any city, any town, is that all your colleagues, they're not professional stand-ups for the most part. You know, they're people who have day jobs who love doing comedy, and there's a community around that. So for me, I was doing it because I love to do it. And
do
of
you
course,
find activism in your art form?
I mean, I don't intend it to. I mean, I feel like that's a pitfall that a lot of performers could get into, that like you become an activist before the artist. And I feel like any activism you wanted out of the art then suffers. I think if you're genuine and honest and your point of view is clearly just not a didactic point but comes from a earnest place and maybe even a personal place, it's more effective anyway. But my job is not to teach people. My job is not to activate people. My job isn't to educate people. My job is to make them laugh, and in the most thoughtful way possible. And for me, with my ethos, in a way where I feel like I'm not punching down and hurting people with less power, and in a way that's like honest.
Mm. Talking with stand-up comedian Hari Kondabolu about his craft and evolution in comedy. Has a stand-up comedian helped change your views on something? What made you challenge your own assumptions? What do you think about stand-up being a lens through which we can have conversations about race, about inequities? Join in, share your story, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Back in a moment with Hari Kondabolu here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. We have a comedian, Hari Kondabolu, with us as he tours several cities in Wisconsin. Post 9/11, he started to question his country on things like war, hate crimes, and deportation. And these issues, they tend to percolate in his comedy material. So who are some of your favorite stand-up comics? What questions do you have for Hari Kondabolu? Be part of the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Hari stays with us from our Eau Claire studios, where he is on tour tonight. Hari, I'd like to ask you about campus free speech as someone who performs at colleges and does deal with hecklers. Here in Wisconsin, lawmakers and the university leaders are considering policies that would require mandatory discipline, suspension, or expulsion for students who disrupt free speech. What do you make of that idea?
I think it's tricky, right? Because I feel like your right to protest is part of that free speech right. You know, maybe it's not part of free speech, but it's definitely one of your rights that you are able to have a public demonstration. And I do think that it's tricky because when you're saying you're disrupting someone's, where's the line there, right? Are we talking about an interruption? Are we talking about, you know, a public official is speaking and there is chanting, there's a protest, where are the lines? I feel like it gets very tricky. And I get it from both ends of it, right? Like it's supposed to be protecting both ends, but I kind of worry about any restrictions to free speech. I feel like you fight free speech with free speech and education.
Hmm. So curious, do you lean into the style of pseudo-academic cool Professor Moore when you perform on college campuses? Or what do you do with that crowd?
I mean, it's tricky, right? Because there, a lot of the kids are 18 to 21 and they're still new to things. So it's not that there's, I think there's a lot of other comics who might say that like, there's political correctness on campus. But I think part of it is you have to remember they're 18 to 21. They're like figuring out the world. Like, I don't think it's particularly fair to assume that they've had the same experiences that you've had living in New York for the past decade. Like, you have to give them, you know, maybe it's a little bit more, some things, personal things have to be a little more basic. And when you talk about the world, you know, I think in some ways they're better audiences because they're used to listening. I mean, that's what they do all day. Like, mm-hmm. they listen, and, you know, getting them to laugh is a bonus. So, you know, I really still love performing on college campuses because they're, like, excited to hear different ideas and they're excited to discuss them later. And, you know, if they're used to listening all day to someone talk and share their opinions, at least I promise punchlines.
Do your audiences, do you think they come expecting your comedy to have the touches, the flourishes of current events like the impeachment inquiry? Or do you think they're looking for an escape from news and politics?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think they come for catharsis, I think, you know, especially if you're a person of color or someone who's dealt with oppression. I think that's one thing that I've known, hearing from fans after shows that I've might have provided in the show. That's not the goal. The goal is laughter. You know, if I have a joke about the impeachment, I will. But at this point, it just feels like it's everywhere right now. Like, news about the president is constant, and there's always a new scandal. And I feel like, you know, to me, this isn't Trump-related stuff. Like, a lot of the things we're dealing with were cracks. They were fissures that were there before the president got there. And so, to me, let's talk about the bigger issues, right? Like, racism didn't start 3 years ago, right? Like, the way we treat immigrants, deporting people, the way we, you know, children in cages, maybe that phenomenon of children in cages is new, but the principles behind it aren't, and the attitudes behind it aren't. So, and yet somehow I try to make that funny, which I realize for you might, I might have to remind listeners, I am a comedian. It is hard to make jokes about these things, but you try, and it's especially hard on public radio in the morning to find light moments when talking about children in cages. But yeah, but that is the goal.
A couple years ago, you stirred up a you know, national conversation about stereotypes with your documentary, The Problem with Apu. And the film examined the longtime Simpsons character, Apu, and portrayals of Indian Americans in mass media. Have you seen changes in portrayals of Indian Americans going forward? What has Apu done for our country?
The latter question, I'll do the Apu question first. I mean, it's certainly a caricature. It's a stereotype of an Indian immigrant. I get the argument that, they're all stereotypes on The Simpsons. That's part of the show. And I get that. But I'm saying that, like, it's hard when you only had one representation for it to be a stereotype, when that represents everyone you know and your family. Like, it's a really strange phenomenon. So I feel like, you know, it kind of put us on a weird footing to start our time in this country. But I will say now is a really exciting time, and not just in South Asian voices, but, you know, there's a much more diverse range of voices being heard and new stories being told. And it's a really exciting time. And a lot of that has to do with how, like, media works now. It's not just like two or three major networks. Like, there's content everywhere, and people want something that's either maybe tailored to what they're interested in, which some people would say is ridiculous. But, you know, that's what mainstream television was. It was tailored to the mainstream masses. So I think that's only fair. Or they want just something new and different, you know. And for any voice, and particularly selfishly as a South Asian voice, it's exciting because, again, as a comedian, I don't have to explain so much. My, like, similarities to other Americans, to other human beings, become a lot more apparent if you grow up with brown faces.
We're talking with comedian Hari Kondabolu. He has shows in Wisconsin today through Sunday with stops in Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kevin now in Janesville. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning. I just want to give a big salute to one of my favorite comics, George Carlin, who opened up every topic to everybody and challenged everything they thought about and thought they knew. And his quote of the job of the comic is to find out where the line is for society and then to deliberately pole vault across it.
Oh, wow. Hari, what do you make of that?
I love George Carlin. I think he's still one of the most important, I wouldn't just say comedians, but public voices in American history. Also, you know, I love that quote. And he also had something recently where he talked about the idea of what is the point of punching down at the little guy, right? What is the point of punching down at people who have less power? That's not interesting. That's not brave. And, you know, I think he was saying that to Larry King many years ago, and I saw the clip recently, and it's like, you know, he really did see this holistic thing of finding the line, and you try to figure out where that is and force people into an area of discomfort and hopefully create laughter out of it. I mean, it's a sick game in a way to make people uncomfortable and try to find a way to get them to laugh. But at the same time, I think when you're in that space and you laugh from that place of discomfort, it means more. It's like, how did you pull the rabbit out of the hat that time? Like, I think that's part of it. And with Carlin, I love the fact that, like, he did see power dynamics in performing. It wasn't as simple as just, like, I tell jokes. It's like, I tell jokes, but at the same time, I'm also aware of my position and the position of the audience members and what that means.
And your mom is quite funny. I'm wondering, what does she think now that you are really, really engaged with these bigger, broader issues across our nation and still doing it in a funny way?
She's proud of me, but she's definitely scared. I mean, she sees the news. She knows what's been happening, especially to people of color in this country, particularly post-Trump with the increase in hate crimes. She knows also that I'm not afraid to say what I want and that I'll travel the country. Like, I'm not going to restrict myself to just the coastal elites. You know, to me, the job of the comedian is to travel and to meet different communities and to try to find a way to relate to them. And
does that make your material better when you do get
absolutely
out there?
Absolutely, because it means that the things that I take for granted that people will understand, you know, they might, you know, it forces me to find a way to explain it to them and to communicate it to them. And I think that helps overall. Like, I don't know much about Eau Claire, you know, and I'm have to perform there tonight, and I'm excited
you'll be
about
learning.
It. Yeah, but that's part of it. Like, I have to learn. Like, you know, I'm in Madison Thursday to Saturday. I've been there, and I've been I'm going to be in Milwaukee on Sunday. Those are cities I'm more familiar with, and I think are part of the national conversation a bit more. But my job is to figure out, how do I communicate this to the people of Eau Claire tonight? Bon Iver or whoever else shows up.
Well, Hari, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hari Kondabolu is a stand-up comedian and writer based in Brooklyn, as you heard, performing tonight in Eau Claire with shows in Madison and Milwaukee to follow. And he joined us from our studios in Eau Claire. Just ahead, we take a look at some of the most played songs of the year on Wisconsin jukeboxes. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.